fields with Malachi. Do you remember that one, Jeremiah? When you got back to the fields and you asked the sheepdogs there if all the sheep were well, that one. And the sheepdog answered and he said, yes, all 500 of them. And you said, but when we left, there were only 480. He said, but I rounded them up. So who here has had some Christmas presents to open already this morning? Yeah, there's a number. Well, a number of you who have said yes have come with other people, so I'm not going to tread on dangerous ground and ask if they were what you wanted. But I hope that you got some enjoyment out of opening those gifts. And for those who here has bought somebody a gift, yes, I have as well. And I don't know how you go about trying to choose a gift for someone, but it can be quite difficult. And as the years have gone on, it gets a little bit more difficult for me to choose what gifts to get for my family. Some of you here might have been fortunate to get a few hints. You know, Adam has yet to fully explain why there are reviews of one-man tents popping up on my YouTube feed. And he's yet to find out whether he'll get one or not, because we'll open our gifts once we get home. You know, but gift giving at Christmas is part of our culture. You know, we can start to complain and look at the over-commercialism of Christmas another day after I've unwrapped my gifts. But today is Christmas and we give gifts for many reasons. One is to show how much we care and think and value a person. And to that person, we want to give a gift that is appropriate, that is a good fit. Sometimes that can be an agonizing decision. Gift giving also allows us to follow the tradition of the wise men, because they too brought gifts, didn't we? Didn't they? We've just sung about the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. So this morning we're going to just think a little bit. We're going to get our mind off the shepherds and we're going to start Jeremiah. We're going to spend a few minutes looking at the Magi, these wise men, and what they thought was fit to bring a young king, because it wasn't Legos and it wasn't new clothes. For those who are brave enough to venture out tomorrow, Adam is going to start and try and share from Micah about what three gifts God desires from us. But let's have a look at what these guys brought the Christ child. So we just heard from Jeremiah and we read about the shepherds in Luke, but it's the book of Matthew, Matthew's gospel, that we read about the Magi. Turn it on. Helps. There we go. So reading from Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. A bit more. Here we go. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Carrying on a bit later in the chapter, it says, "When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures, and they presented him with gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh." So Matthew has definite themes that he writes about in his book. And one of the recurrent themes that he writes about in his gospel is that Jesus is the promised Messiah. You know, he's writing to a mainly Jewish audience. And so from the very first verse of the very first chapter in his book, he says this is a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and so it goes on. And within his letter as well, he includes lots of scriptures that were written concerning this Messiah. But you, Bethlehem, in the land, see, you're going to regret this, Mike, aren't you, making me do this? In the land of Judah are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. But along with the idea that Jesus is the promised Messiah, another one of the themes that Matthew brings out is that Christ is the Messiah, the Saviour for all people. You know, if we go to the very end of Matthew's Gospel, he closes it with a great commission, saying, go out and make disciples of all nations. And so how fitting, right here at the beginning, Matthew lets us know that it is by Gentiles, these Magi, that Christ was being sought out and honoured. You know, there are many things that Matthew doesn't tell us about these Magi, about these wise men. He doesn't seem very concerned about letting us know their names or their number or mode of transport. We don't get told exactly where they come from, just from the east, which I think is, you know, over that direction somewhere. Is that east? There? We don't get told if they come of their own free will or whether they are sent as emissaries from a ruler in a far-off land. We really don't know how many there are. We automatically think of three, don't we? And we attribute that to the three gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. But in the Eastern traditions, 12 is the number that is more traditionally thought of. And there's no mention of how they came. We often see pictures like this, don't we, where they are riding on the backs of camels. But camels were usually pack animals. They were probably riding Arabian horses, especially being such noble, distinguished men, bringing great treasures. Matthew doesn't find it important to tell us any of that information. And so I find it really interesting when he doesn't tell us a lot, he's felt it important enough for us to know that just as it was customary in the time when you were visiting royalty, as it is today, to bring a gift, that he let us know these Magi came bearing gifts. And not only did they come bearing gifts, but he gave us the gift list. He let us know what they were: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. For these gifts were given, like I hope your gifts were given this morning, with thought and with meaning. We have gold. We all still really know about gold, don't we? It was the first gift on the list. Well, back then, just as today, gold was a precious metal. It was costly. It was shaped into jewellery. This isn't gold. Gold-coloured, maybe. It was shaped into ornaments, used as coins. And these wise men came seeking a child that they believed had been born the King of the Jews. And it was the metal for kings. This is probably the easiest of the gifts for us to understand why it was chosen for Jesus. But we see gold being used in other places in the Bible too. And if we read through 1 Kings, we see that it was used in the Old Testament temples, in the Temple of Solomon. And if we think of the most holy place, that inner sanctum that only the high priest would go to, the entire room was overlaid with gold. Even the altar was overlaid with gold. Now, this was the place that the high priest would go into to encounter the presence of God. And it seems that these wise men came bearing a gift, maybe knowing that in this Messiah, this Savior for the people, there was now the chance to encounter the presence of God. What a fitting gift for our King. And they brought frankincense, the second on the list. Now, it's not something we use a lot of these days. Who's got a jar of frankincense in their cupboard at home? We've got one out of quite a few. It's not usually kept in the house these days, but in Jesus' time, it wasn't kept in a normal house either. It was incredibly expensive, at least as expensive as gold, and we have in some reports that it was even more expensive than gold. What was it? Anybody know what frankincense is? Hopefully the person who owns it does. It was a resin. Yeah, it's made from for tree sap. It's a resin. And with this gift, we start to get a sense of why Matthew included these lists of gifts in his gospel. Because it was frankincense that was powdered down and then added to the oil that anointed the priests. It was frankincense that was used in temple worship. It was burnt as an offering to God. It was a gift of worship. It was a fitting gift to bring to this child born the King of Jews. You know, these wise men came and worshipped the child with a gift of frankincense. You know, they were acknowledging him as our great high priest, where we are able to come and worship in the presence of God. This is a great gift for a divine child. And we have myrrh, the third gift. Now, this one is a bit like frankincense too, in as much as that it was harvested from trees. Over many centuries, the people who farmed myrrh had got to the point where they knew how to wound a tree just enough to get it to create this myrrh without killing it. The trees would create the myrrh to heal the wounds. And it was very expensive, probably more expensive than gold. It was fragrant, it was used in perfumes, it was used to anoint the priests as well. But there are a couple of other places that we see it being used in the New Testament. We see it being offered to and turned down by Christ. It says, then they offered wine to drink mixed with myrrh, but he refused to drink it. It was given to those who were dying to ease their pain. And the next time we read about it in the New Testament, we see Nicodemus going to a market and buying about 34 kilos of myrrh and aloes. That's a huge amount. And I'm assuming at the death of Christ, that night where he came to meet him in the darkness, the words spoken to him suddenly made sense. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, we're told that the usual amount of the spice that's used to anoint someone in burial is about 2 kilos. 34 kilos was an amount used for royal funerals. You know, I don't know why the Magi would choose to give myrrh. If they saw it as a symbolic gift for a child they believed would heal many, or whether it was a foreshadowing of his sacrificial death for us. You know, it was a strange gift. It was possibly even a macabre gift for a child. But it was a gift fit for the Saviour of the world. You know, we're all going to leave here soon, and I'm not going to preach for another 40 minutes, which is what I often promise about this time. And we're going to continue to celebrate with our friends and our family, and that's great. I hope we all get a chance to really enjoy having some special time together. But I hope also that there are some moments within your day that you can stop and ponder on these gifts that were given to the Christ child. Because they can help us focus on what's important to offer him of ourselves today. You know, we think of gold, it was a gift of value. What is it that we treasure, that we offer to Christ? What are we holding back? Frankincense was a gift of worship. How will we endeavour to worship God this coming year with all of our heart, with our soul and our might? And myrrh was a gift of sacrifice. You know, to sacrifice is to give up something that we want or we want to do specifically to help somebody else. How are we going to bring our personal sacrifice to Christ this year? What parts of our fears, of our self-satisfying, will we be prepared to lay down? And it's also a good time to keep remembering that the best gift has already been given to us this Christmas. We've already been given the greatest gift of all, because Christ came as the ultimate gift. You know, today is the day we celebrate his coming into the world as a babe. And we acknowledge he came as Emmanuel, God with us. And by the Spirit, he remains with us and is ever continually calling us into deeper relationship with the Father. You know, we can have and experience the presence of God and have peace with God, not because anything that we have been able to bring, but because of this amazing gift given to us this morning over 2,000 years ago. What an amazing gift we've been given, thought about, personally, chosen, fit for us, given from a king. So we're going to finish with a song. But Merry Kirihemate, Merry Christmas.